everyone. Welcome into another episode of A Must-Win Game with Maggie Gray. On today's show, Matt Eisman will be my guest. He's a game show host, American Ninja Warrior fame. He's a stand-up comedian. He's actually a doctor who graduated from medical school, and he will tell a very funny story about being on a plane when someone was having a medical emergency and there were no doctors and he had to step in. So look forward to that towards the end of the pod. But before we get to Matt, and he's hosting a new show called Front Office Sports Tonight that debuts on September 14th, which is going to be really cool. But first, I am officially fading the LA Rams. The LA Rams are the current Super Bowl favorite. They have the shortest odds at plus 500. The over-under on their win totals, the line was set at 11.5 wins. Only the Rams and the Baltimore Ravens have win totals that high. And I get it. There have been some really splashy headlines for the Rams this offseason, most notably the trade for Myles Garrett. I mean, how do you not get excited about the best defensive player in football, maybe the best football player period in the entire NFL if we're just taking positions out of it? I mean, Myles Garrett is amazing. And also the teasing of Aaron Donald rejoining the team after he had retired after the 2023-2024 season. But I'm officially fading the Rams. And here are a couple reasons why I think that are just getting glossed over. The first thing is age. And I know that Aaron Rodgers is still playing into his 40s and Tom Brady still played into his 40s. Joe Flacco into his 40s and a little different spot. But Matthew Stafford, 38 years old. And Matthew Stafford has to be feeling all of that 38. He's known for his toughness, but Matthew Stafford has taken some insane hits over his career. This is not, you know, somebody who was a backup for a long time. And maybe the years that he's been in the NFL aren't exactly, you know, the amount of wear and tear on his body. It's not true. Started from day one in Detroit. And yeah, he held up well last year and was the MVP of the league. But I ask you, with someone who is this advanced into their 30s, and by the way, a guy who his own team, Sean McVay and the Rams, basically told him before the season, go out to the market and see what you can get. Now, to be fair to Stafford, he rebounded with an MVP season, but this is not a team, and they know all of his medicals, and they know everything about him, and they were not rushing to give him any kind of extension, and add on top of it, they drafted a quarterback in the first round in this draft, which was a bit of a stunner that Ty Simpson, the quarterback of Alabama, ended up going to the Rams in the first round. So to me, Stafford at 38, Myles Garrett, phenomenal player. He's also 30. He's going to be 31 in December. Davante Adams, who's going to be counted on to be probably wide receiver two, because we'll get to Puka Nacua in just a moment. But Davante Adams, 33 years old as a wide receiver. He's going to turn 34 in December. There is just not a track record outside of Jerry Rice of wide receivers playing at a super high level into their mid-30s. It's just extremely rare. And then, of course, the Aaron Donald piece of it. Donald is 35, and he's been retired since the end of the 2023-2024 season. Like, think about it this way. If Aaron Donald didn't play football this season, he would be more than halfway through the process of getting to Hall of Fame eligibility. Like, you have to wait 5 years. He'd be 3 years removed, and he would be, like, well on his way to being, I'm sure, a first ballot Hall of Famer. So Stafford, Garrett, Davante Adams, Aaron Donald, these are four guys who would be the core of this team that are all into their 30s, and Garrett being the youngest at 30, he's going to turn 31 in December. So it's putting a lot of stock into guys who are a little bit older. I mentioned Davante Adams is 33. He'll turn 34 in December. Well, of course, he's not wide receiver one anymore. He's wide receiver two because of Puka Nacua. Have you heard about what Puka Nacua has been going through lately? This guy has some major issues. Now, I'm not telling you he can't get through it. He can't play through it. But let's just go through a little of what Puka Nacua's offseason. has been like. He's been to rehab already for mental health issues, maybe some substance abuse issues, because, and the only reason why I feel like I can say that and even speculate on it, is because he is currently being sued in a civil lawsuit for allegedly biting a woman on New Year's Eve. New Year's Eve, 2025 into 2026, allegedly he was drunk in Las Vegas and bit a woman. He also, according to this woman, made some anti-Semitic remarks. He's already been fined by the NFL for making inappropriate remarks, inappropriate gestures. So, like, Puka Nacua is not exactly Mr. Stability right now. He's also, and I understand why the Rams are not rushing to give him a contract extension. So now, either the contract kind of looming over this season is either going to, you know, motivate a guy, you know, contract year, we usually see the best out of guys, or it's going to create more pressure. And has he shown, like, that he can handle that? If he really has, you know, mental health issues that luckily he is getting some treatment for. So there's just a lot going on with Puka Nacua, and it hasn't been positive. Another thing I want to bring up. So the Rams start the season in Australia. The first ever NFL game in Australia. And to be honest, this is probably terrible timing more for their opponent in the San Francisco 49ers, because Kyle Shanahan was involved in a really serious car accident. As we know, he's still dealing with the lingering effects of a concussion. So I can't imagine you're dying to get on a plane to literally go around the world, halfway around the world, to play a football game. But the Rams are going to be playing them in Australia. I think it's ridiculous that they would have a division game in Australia. These division games can be so important. I kind of hate that. But that's really an aside. If this was the only massive road trip for the Rams, I don't even know if I would bring it up. But this is just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to the Rams' schedule this year. So you start in Australia. Oh, and by the way, there was a report that Sean McVay was planning to not even fly into Australia until the day before the game. So you have, like, no time to get acclimated to the time change. They were just going to sort of, like, rip the Band-Aid off and, like, arrive the day before the game, play the game the next day, and then, like, leave right after. I don't know if that's a good idea or not. The report was the 49ers are going to leave a few days in advance to kind of give their guys a chance to get acclimated to the time change. Who knows what's better? But Sean McVay then was asked about it the next day and refused to answer any more questions about their travel. So obviously, like, something is going on. Is everyone on the same page with this idea? Is this actually the best way to optimize their players? All of that. Okay, but Australia is just the tip of the iceberg. After Australia, they get to come home and play the Giants. Okay, then they travel to Denver. Like, the real true home field advantage of being in high altitude. From Denver, they go directly to Philadelphia. And that is not their only trip to the East Coast. A month later, they go to Washington. And then a month after that, they go to Tampa. So you don't even get to do the double dip thing where, let's say, you have back-to-back games on the East Coast and you can stay on the East Coast. Or sometimes we'll see teams that will kind of decamp, like, in the Midwest and kind of, like, cut the travel in half, so you're not just crisscrossing back and forth across the country. So this is three games that they also have to play on the East Coast. And then some of the home games they're going to play are against the likes of Buffalo, Green Bay, Kansas City, and Dallas. And not only are these teams expected to be really good, these are games where it's possible the fans infiltrate your home stadium to the point where, I'm not going to say it's going to be like the Chargers, where it feels like the home team is actually the road team, but if you don't think that the Buffalo, Green Bay, Kansas City, and Dallas fans are not coming out for this game, you're crazy. So could take away maybe some of the home field advantage on some of these really difficult home games at SoFi Stadium. So Anyway, that's just a little bit of why I'm starting to fade. Not starting. I am fading the LA Rams. Now, obviously, like, it's not all bad. They added Myles Garrett. They also added Trent McDuffie in a trade this offseason. You look around the division, the 49ers are a mess. I mentioned the Kyle Shanahan, you know, concussion and car accidents. It's just an odd way to start out the season. They've also suffered injuries at the 49ers. Stop me if you've heard that before. The Seahawks could certainly suffer from a Super Bowl hangover. We have no idea what they're going to be like, although I imagine the defense is still going to be good. And the Cardinals' win total is set at 3.5. So this is expected to be one of the worst teams in the entire NFL. So it's not all bad here for the Rams. Obviously, they're the Super Bowl favorites for a reason. But I just think, considering the age of their core players, the schedule that they have, the travel that they have, I don't see how they can be this big of a favorite. Oh, I want to make one other point. Aaron Donald making this comeback. There was an interesting headline that came out just about a week ago with regards to Aaron Donald. And the headline was, he is signed with this really big media company and he is planning like this big media career soon or now, or maybe he's going to have a documentary crew kind of with him when he comes back this season, I guess, if he comes back this season, and is going to sort of document this whole year and sort of what it takes for him to come back. That's fine. I have no reason to question that Aaron Donald's not going to put in 100%, but what's the motivation to really do this? Is the motivation because you really feel like you want to come back and win a Super Bowl with this team and you have like a renewed sense of determination or whatever, or you feel like there's unfinished business? I mean, I don't know what else Aaron Donald, a three-time defensive player of the year, a Super Bowl champion, and a guy who gets credited for winning that Super Bowl. Like, when Joe Burrow and the Bengals were driving down the field, it was Aaron Donald who snuffed out that drive, a potential game-winning drive. And so why come back? Like, is it all really just to launch a media company? Or is it really because he's got football reasons for coming back, or he feels good now, so what the hell? And they got Myles Garrett, so okay, this could create this amazing duo. I saw that headline about the media company and my ears kind of perked up a little bit. First of all, Aaron Donald, like, media darling? Okay, maybe. Like, I'm open to it. I'm sure, you know, he's got some interesting things to say. He's kind of like a legendary guy in his own way because of his crazy workouts and just how talented he is. But it was weird that the headline was coinciding with more and more questions about his return. He was spotted at training camp and all of that. So this got a little like aging stars dream team kind of vibe. And, you know, sometimes those work and sometimes they really don't. So, and obviously so many more variables with football than, let's say, even basketball, something like that. So those are my reasons for fading the Rams. Okay, let me know what you think. Without further ado, here is the game show host, actor, comedian, and all-around good guy, Matt Eisman.
The one thing that everyone enjoys together anymore is sports. That's it. There just aren't TV shows that bring us together, like since Game of Thrones. And sports, I realized it's become like the jumping off point for so many of the cultural conversations, you know, be it Travis and Taylor or be it, you know, with the World Cup when we were talking about, all right, how are you getting tickets? And what about these hydration breaks? Clearly, this is finance. The whole plan with FIFA afterwards to start this private entity and make more money than God. And I think what we're seeing is a lot of the conversations people are having center around sports. And so I think front office sports identified that a while ago, that people are really interested behind the numbers. We're interested in how does this NIL program work? How does Crumble Cookies benefit BYU? What are the stories behind this? And I think that's where front office sports has lived. And digitally, you know, they've built a hell of a brand. And so we're really lucky to start a show that's coming off the back of that. And that's going to lean on them. Like, again, you know, we'll be calling Dan Roberts, editor-in-chief, and Ben Horney, who's their deals guy, which, by the way, I mean, an all-time great name there, Maggie. I can barely say it with a straight face. But I'm really excited. I'm really excited. You know, they feel like they're on a rocket ship. And it's, you know, we're hoping that we can introduce people to a whole new area.
First off, for Ben Horney, it's all in the wherever you're putting the pronunciation. That could be Horney.
Horney. Never Ben know. Horney. You know? It's, see, Maggie, you're classy. That's the difference.
Not that classy. You know, the other thing that I always go back and forth on, why do people watch sports, right? Do we watch sports just purely for the escape? Do people watch sports because they like to bet on it? Do people watch sports because it connects them to their community? But I think there, no matter why, the reason you like sports, I always think there is something intriguing to people when you say, follow the money.
Yeah.
And follow the money. And maybe that's because I was like a journalism junkie for a long time, but follow the money will always be interesting to me.
I 100% agree. And I think, you know, and that was the classic thing. It's not about the money. It's about the respect. Well, the respect is money. So really it's about the money. And I think it's fascinating, you know, when we're seeing these conversations going on, I just had a chance, front office sports had a huddle in the Hamptons, and I had a chance to interview T.O. out there and Terrell Owens. And, you know, what a tremendous story he was, but I didn't know in his career, he made $80 million. And he had a great agent who set him up with a financial advisor. But at one point, this guy was doing some dastardly deeds. T.O. had gone from $80 million to $500,000. And it's a story so common. But as we talked about it, he'd done everything right. I do have a theory about why one of the things that people like about sports, too. And this is something I learned from Ninja Warrior and also from having a chance to do a lot of Olympic stuff is I think people love a moment. You know, like the what we get in the movies with like Rocky or Hoosiers or the Karate Kid, we all love that kind of underdog moment. And I think that's what sports offers us is a chance to see something real, to see people have a moment. Kirk Gibson, right, in this against Dennis Eckersley, like limps out of the dugout. It's those things like any kid who played sports sat in the backyard and, you know, like time's running down, Bradshaw throws it, I'm tippy-toeing Lynn Swann in the end zone. We all did that. And I think that's one of the things we love about sports is, listen, it can be boring, but sometimes you get to see Messi assist on two goals in the semifinals. And you're like, this is magic. We're getting to watch the best who've ever done it. So I think, you know, I think sports, it's still a romantic thing that it is, you know, that on any given night, someone could throw a perfect game. Someone could set a record. And I think we love that. We love when the Knicks are down, to the Spurs, 30 points, and somehow they come back. And we all knew towards the end, especially when Wemby missed the free throws, we all go, it's inevitable.
As a quick side note, I was at game 4 of the NBA Finals. And you want to know what the OG tipping game, and you want to know two things about that game. One, it was all about the ticket prices. How much did you pay? How much did you pay that? And secondly, I think that because the tickets were so expensive, that's why everyone stayed. Because down 30, they looked terrible.
$12,000 for not leaving in the third quarter.
They dribbled the ball off their foot. I mean, the Knicks looked sunk, and then they came back, and everyone was there, and it was really exciting.
But that's magical that you got to be there. I couldn't imagine the energy in the building. It must have been electric.
It was really something I'll never forget. And I've been lucky. I've been to prize fights. I've been to Super Bowls, Final Fours, and stuff like that. And that was when OG tipped the ball in, I thought, well, I was like, oh my God, they're going to win. And also, oh my God, I'm going to die because we were up on the Chase Bridge and it really does shake. And I was seeing the headlines like from triumph to tragedy. You know? Knicks win, dozens injured, you know, and I would have been one of those unfortunate ones. Okay, quickly about Ninja Warrior, and we get back to the sports stuff because, well, Ninja Warrior is sports. By the way, you say, you know, we all haven't watched the same TV show since Game of Thrones. I don't know one person who hasn't seen multiple episodes of Ninja Warrior. How did you not like laugh in people's faces, Matt, when they wipe out and fall? Like how do you be respectful in that moment? Because you're a better person than me. I wouldn't
able to do listen, it. I will say when we first started on the show, some of the wipeouts would elicit laughter, but I will tell you what humbled me was just even trying some of the obstacles. And then what really, I think, humbled me was you know, when you host, I think you know this, Maggie, we can be in high-pressure situations, but hosts really can't screw up, right? We're not the ones who have to perform, pitch. And like when I did Celebrity Apprentice, and it was such a different feeling being on the other side of the camera, and it made me realize for these people on Ninja Warrior, you know, most of these people, a lot of them didn't play high school sports. They never had moments in front of tens of thousands of people, let alone with millions of people watching and $1 million on the line. And I just became, I was so impressed with how these people would show up and then bare their souls for the stories. And especially some of these young ninjas who would talk about, you know, some of them struggle with socialization. They're on the spectrum. And these kids don't have a lot of friends, but they will share this story and share how they found a community in Ninja Warrior. And it's one of those things that, you know, I remember when I was in my 20s, you kind of smirk at that stuff. But like, as soon as you know, I have a 7-month-old kid, like once you have a child and you hear some of these stories, it just is like, I feel really lucky that we get to be a part of these people having moments. Like we were talking about with sports. On our show, you get to see people have moments that you know they'll remember the rest of their lives. And the great thing is, a lot of times it is the people who fall. But just by making it to the start line, battling back from stage 4 cancer or the loss of a spouse or a child, that they get to the start line, you can see what it means to them and they know how far they've come. And it's really cool, you know, because we're in sports where it's a zero-sum game. One person wins, everyone else is a loser. But on Ninja, you'll see people win in so many different ways. And it's really nice to get to be a part of something like that and feel like, you know, we get to see people have these moments they'll remember the rest of their lives.
See, this is why you're a better person than me. I would just be like, huh?
Well, like I said, it took a while. It took a while. And you may find footage of me laughing. And well, the other thing was like, I've tried it. And the last two times I broke my foot and broke my ankle. Because again, like I would, you know, I played baseball in college. I think I'm an athlete. And then you realize like, oh, no. You're a host. You just talk about stuff. You don't do it.
Yeah. Stay in the lane. I've learned that many, many times.
Oh, this is why.
You don't catch me like shooting hoops on camera. I don't sing. Look, I don't
like
do
Stephen
any of that
a.
stuff.
Throwing up a brick, and I was like, "Okay, Stephen A. Now we
no, know. No, but nope, not me. Wouldn't throw out a first pitch if you paid me $1 million. Wouldn't do it. I'd never be able to have a job again."
Akbar did that. So Akbar threw out a first pitch for the Phillies game. That was one of the all-time worst pitches. And I pitched in college, so I talked to him the night before, and I'm like, you know, just relax, don't throw too hard. And I go, but I will tell you, Akbar, nobody notices a good first pitch. If you want to get noticed, do a bad one. And he almost hit the Fanatic. He bounced it. It was horrible. And I was like, was that intentional? And he was like, no, it was not. But it worked.
He at least was a professional athlete.
He, Mariah Carey, 50 Cent, Baba Booey, the all-time great worst first pitches.
Man, what company to be in. you know, I was, your story is so unique. And again, I want to get back to like the current stuff, but like your story is very unique in that you were a doctor. You went to medical school and you graduated from medical school, right? Like, are there moments where you've thought like, as you're watching a ninja, like climb up that where you're like if the doctor who was leaning over, you know, taking out someone's appendix or whatever you were learning at school could see you now, like what would that medical student say about where you've come?
God bless you. Thanks for taking a swing. You know, it's I mean, medicine was incredible. And I think for me, the switch came when I realized I love the problem solving of medicine, but medicine is like, it's not a job. It is a calling, and people place their lives in your hands. And Maggie, when I was in my training, I just kind of had this epiphany where I realized my heart's not in this. And I just felt like I wasn't studying. I wasn't doing the homework I needed to do. I wasn't doing the research. And I just, this fear started growing in me that I was going to make a mistake that would cost someone their lives or permanent, you know, some permanent thing, and that guilt would consume me. And that's when I knew I had to try to take a break and do something different. And I didn't know I was going to end up in entertainment, but I thought it's completely far removed. But I will say, within like 3 weeks of moving out to Hollywood, I just felt like I think I found what I'm meant to do. And, you know, it took me a while to stumble through it, but it is, I say, like, you could be the world's greatest violinist, but if you never picked up a violin, you wouldn't know. And I'm really glad that I took a chance to step away from medicine. Cause it's like, look, that's a slam dunk, right? You have a job. You did it. You're set. Just don't. And then you go to comedy. But, I'm really glad I did. And like, my roommate was just out and he just oversaw the second ever pig-grown, human genetically modified kidney transplant. And I'm like, you're doing amazing things. And I'm talking about ninjas. And we're both exactly where we're supposed to be, Maggie.
You're on a flight. All of a sudden, you get the dreaded words. Is there a doctor on board? You raising your hand?
It's happened. It happened. And I didn't
raise
my hand initially.
That's the Ninja Warrior guy. You're not a doctor.
They came on like three times and I hit it and I go, I'll be honest, I am a doctor, but it's been a while since I practiced. They go, there's no one else. We think this person's having a heart attack. Now, this was like a LA to New York flight. My heart sinks because, you know, you don't have an EKG on board. You don't even have the stethoscope. So you're having to use like clinical skills. And I go back, I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do. And it's like a 23-year-old. And I start talking about the story. Was out drinking till 4 a.m. Got to the airport and had like three Frappuccinos. I'm like, you just had too much caffeine. Let's keep this bird going. I'll make this bet. But if it had been something real, I probably would have just been like, this is out of my league. You do your best, but that is a difficult situation.
I just think of it as like one of my favorite movies of all time is Naked Gun, the original one. And so when like the Frank Drebin takes off the umpire's mask and the guy goes, yeah, It's Enrico Palazzo. Like, you would go back there like, I'm a doctor. They're like, you're the Ninja Warrior guy.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, that's totally, totally. Or they would have seen me on like RuPaul's Drag Race and gone, you're the doctor?
You
I think I'll just roll the dice with leeches.
Very funny. We have to amputate. Someone get a butter knife.
I'm useless.
Okay. I want to play a quick game with you called Can't Look Away.
Ooh, okay.
A couple sports things. You tell me whether you just can't look, it's cringe, or okay, you can't look away. This is something you're
okay,
extremely
I like
interested. Aaron Rodgers talking about anything besides football.
Can't look away. Can't look away. What I mean, like, you know, this is what we want. We always talk about people, you know, who the Tiger Woods who give the quotes, the old Bull Durham, you know, good Lord willing, take it one day at a time and just, you know, win the next one. And I just think here's a guy who has just said, I got nothing left to lose. I'm just going to cut loose. And I think it's wildly entertaining. I mean, it's something where if you saw it on like HBO, you'd be like, no quarterback would do that. No one's going to be like Tom Brady, not Aaron Rodgers.
No, we literally watched him go on an ayahuasca trip.
I know. You know what, though? You know what? Honestly, the reason I've enjoyed it lately is hearing that he reunited with his family. That made me very happy to hear. And, you know, who knows the stories, but it is one of those things where you're just like, if you have all that success, but you don't have, you know, and who knows the reasons, but I just thought that was a nice sign that maybe Aaron Rodgers isn't, you know, all the way out there.
LeBron James playing in Philadelphia. Can't look away.
Listen, I'm an MJ guy, but can't look away. I mean, the guy is still one of the greatest forces on the court. And for, you know, it reminds me of like Mike Tyson, Jake Paul, where we, you know, you knew this was a sideshow. But I will tell you, everybody who lived through the 80s and 90s, we all watched because we just thought maybe a glimpse, maybe one punch. And I think LeBron still has that idea of maybe he can turn it on and we'll see the greatest, you know, the greatest. I think Jordan's the greatest basketball player. But LeBron has to be the greatest athlete who's ever played.
The Dodgers, now they've added Tarek Skubal. Can't look away.
You know, I love when LA teams do well, but not the Dodgers. My dad had season tickets for the Rockies since day one. And, you know, it's been a lesson in futility, just an awful experience with the franchise. And the Dodgers have been so good and should have won probably 9 World Series in the past, you know, past few decades. So it's hard when the rich get richer. Having said that, I love Shohei and I love seeing like how he has become an international icon and that he's here in LA. I mean, this is a front runner town, but when the Dodgers are good, when USC is good, when the Lakers are good, it's more fun in the city. So, you know, I can't watch because it always means that the Rockies are further down into the abyss. But at the same time, man, I love Shohei and the crew.
Yeah, your Rockies, my Mets occupying a very similar spot in the standings. Last
I mean, at least
for
the
you.
Mets, you have an owner who's throwing money at it. Like my dad got into a writing battle with Monfort, Dick Monfort. And at the end, Monfort wrote my dad, give me a number for how much you paid for tickets since the beginning till now, and I'll write you a check to go away. And my dad said, you're not getting rid of me that easily.
That's legendary. Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's just, it's one of those things where it reminds me, So when I came out here, I started getting into the Clippers because you couldn't get Lakers tickets. And so I split season tickets with friends, but it was when Sterling on the team. And you're like, if anyone showed a flash of brilliance, they were getting traded. And you're like, I care more about this team than the owner. And it's a sick feeling, but Coors Field is like Wrigley. There ain't a better place to watch a ball game than Denver, Colorado in a summer afternoon. So they're always going to get 40,000. So there's no need to put a winning team out.
There's something wrong with that, though.
I agree.
Last one for you. Tom Brady taking a spin through the WWE. Can't look away.
You know, I want to say can't look away, but that man gave us some of the greatest football of all time. And I think, you know, I think he led a very, at least on the surface, buttoned down existence during his NFL years. So if the man wants to cut loose, who am I to begrudge him a little bit of fun? It's like, man, you know, go on. Your wife's with some jujitsu instructor. She's found her happiness. So Tom, if taking a turn in the WWE is what floats your boat, I feel like you've earned that from us.
It's just funny. Like, can't really imagine Michael Jordan doing that. Probably would be stunned to see, like,
you know,
Joe Montana.
Jordan had his baseball thing, which we all, you know, I mean, if Kelce and Polly Market were around, I think the odds would have been pretty good about what was going on. And it was just like, you know, sometimes you're like, hey, MJ, you want to go play basketball? Go play basketball. You've earned it. And I think, you know, that's kind of where Brady is, where it's, you know, it's like Belichick. We're like, what are you doing with your legacy? And you're like, he just puts the rings on and it's like, you know what, man, find your happiness, I guess.
Nothing's going right for Bill. Four and eight. I mean, that's the yikes. Thank you so much. And tell us again. So Front Office Sports tonight.
Yeah, it's Front Office Sports tonight. It'll be check your local listings, but it's around 11:30. If you're in New York or LA, it's on Fox. I hope you give it a chance. I think, you know, we want it to be a fun show. And Maggie, I'd love to have you on. I just think you're one of the good people in this business.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I'll only come on if I can talk about Shohei's interpreter, not to play producer.
I mean, that's another one. Where aren't we all just going like, no, nothing to see here, nothing to see. We don't want to miss years of Shohei. And if his interpreter will fall on the sword, then I'm with it.
Have a fall guy. How did Chris Carter get fired for saying that?
It's like Tiger Woods, Tony Romo, you know, have the guy there who's driving you.
Matt, you're the absolute best. I wish you nothing but the best of luck.
Thanks,
with
Maddie.
This and I know it's going to be great because I know some of the people behind the scenes and they're great people and you're awesome, so I'm just
Maggie,
wishing
thank
you nothing
you.
But success.
Appreciate it.
Thanks. Okay, that's going to do it for another episode of A Must-Win Games. Thank you so much for listening, and if you are watching on YouTube, if you could hit that subscribe button, I'd be so grateful. It's a very small thing, but it helps me out in such a huge way. Please continue to follow me on social media at Maggie Gray on Twitter, at Maggie Talk Sports on Instagram, and we will see you on Monday.